Well, it's good to see all of you this afternoon, this evening. I was trying to remember the last time I was in here. I think it's been close to 35 years. Actually, I'm quite glad that I can remember the last time. But it's good to see your faithfulness. And it was a joy to visit with some of the folks that were here 35 years ago. I won't say who they were, but you probably know who they are. And it's just good to see a God that has been faithful. And I wish to give him praise for that tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we're thankful this morning or this evening to be with you, and we know that you're with us. And I pray as we open the Word of God that you will just open it to us, that we would understand just how precious we are before the Savior, and how greatly you love us, and how much you care for us, and how interested you are in our walk, wherever it be in this journey called life. And Lord, we're so thankful that you are our Savior and that you will never forsake us. We ask you to speak to us now again from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, our text this evening is from Proverbs chapter 16. It's probably a verse that a lot of you have memorized. And I'm going to just read it for all of us this evening. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Now, I confess to you that I'm a hopeless lover of people. I enjoy people, though I'm, believe it or not, I am shy, but I do enjoy people once I get started. And I especially love high school kids. I think they're interesting, and getting this age of life, I think that seniors have a lot in common with high school kids, besides the body. You know, our minds are both not there yet, but or maybe we're there and left, so I just lost these teenagers right up here. But I do enjoy high school kids. And I take particularly of a kid that worked for us. I don't know how many of you know, but my wife and I own Subway restaurants in Pennsylvania now. And that's one of the things that we do. We do several other things. But I had this fellow that I would call at night to make sure that he would put the store to bed correctly. That's what we called closing the store. He said be ready for the opener the next morning. And I would talk to him quite at length. And this guy was a night owl. And so he was just, you know, getting into his morning at the time of the night. And so I have long talks with him. And I learned quite a bit about him. And hopefully God blessed me and to be able to influence him just a little bit. But I discovered that as a youngster that he was kicked out of his house. And so they were like foster kids or orphans, really. And that he nearly died as a teenager as a result of an ATV accident that he had stolen, so that when he recovered his health, they put him in jail for that. And somewhere about that time I met him, so we were a reclamation project at Subway. And now he was finally graduating, and I was proud of him. And he told me, as I remember the conversation, it's been a number of years now, but I remember the conversation. He says, "I was called for my third interview." And I says, "Oh." He says, "Yeah, Walmart called me for the third interview. So you may be losing a closer." And I thought, well, that's okay. But I took the opportunity to talk to him about his plans. He says, "Well, I hope to get hired at Walmart, and I've been told that if you get hired at Walmart, you know they have stores all over the country, literally now all over the world, and hopefully I can get transferred to California." He wanted to end up in California. I didn't tell him that once he got to California, he'd want to come back to northern Pennsylvania, but I'm sure he's figured that out by now because he's back in Pennsylvania. But I shared with him these verses that we looked at tonight. That is, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, he had a religious background, so he listened to what I was saying. But I'm not certain that he totally bought into the truth of that verse. And as I was sharing it with him, the Holy Spirit spoke to me like he often does. And he brought to me the truth of the verse. That promise that God is so intimately involved in our lives, no matter what age we are in our walk with him. Whether we've just graduated from high school or we're retiring or we're getting ready to leave this country and go to Ecuador. By the way, Ecuador, I think, is a good place to go visit every winter. Or maybe the summertime. But they're below the equator, aren't they? They're right on the equator. Go visit them anytime. You know, I had a niece that went to Ecuador, and I'll just stop talking about that right there. But it sounds like a nice place. So it doesn't matter where you are. It's a promise that you can claim. And it's absolutely true. How do we receive God's blessing? You know, so many of us would say, well, it's unmerited favor. And that is the way we're accepted into heaven. No doubt about that. But is the blessing of the Lord after that something that we need to apply for? You know, like if you want to get a scholarship to go to college or to apply for Social Security. Is it exclusive? Do you have to be a certain age before you can be blessed by the Lord? Do you have to be a certain gender before you can receive God's blessing? Or does it help if you're in a certain family? I mean, how do we receive God's blessing? And how can we know with confidence that we have God's blessing on our lives? While reading the writer of Proverbs again, it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. In a man's heart, he plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I would suggest to you that it's not that difficult for God to bless each one of us and for us to receive his blessing. But we need to think about it. And I'd encourage you to maybe to think logically about it this evening. You know, whenever I think, use the word logic, I know we have a computer science man here. He's probably had a lot of logic in his life. But whenever you use the word logic, I think of this story that I heard a while back that sticks with me. It's a story of two people by the name of Jimbo and Bubba. And they are sitting on their front porch doing the thing that they like to do more than anything else, drinking RC Cola and eating moon pies. And Jimbo turns to Bubba and says, you know, I'm tired of going through life without an education. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to go to the local community college and sign up for some classes. Bubba thinks, well, that's a good idea. Then they leave. Well, the next day, sure enough, Jimbo goes down to the college. He meets with the dean of admissions. He signs up, and the dean directs him into four basic classes. You know, he's got math, and he has English, and he has history, and he has logic. After they had talked a while, Jimbo asked the question that was burning in his heart. He says, logic, what is that? Well, the dean says, I'll give you an example. Do you own a weed eater? Well, Jimbo responded, well, yeah, I do. Then the dean says, well, logically speaking, because you own a weed eater, I would think that you also have a yard. Well, that's true, says Jimbo. I'm not done yet, says the dean. Because you have a yard, I would think that logically, you would also have a house. Well, yes, I do have a house, says Jimbo. And because you have a house, I would think that logically, you may have a family. Well, yes, sir, I do, says Jimbo. I'm not done yet, says the dean. But because you have a family, then logically you must have a wife. Yes, and that's amazing that you're able to figure out all that just from a weed eater. Well, excited now to take this class on logic, Jimbo shakes the dean's hand and he leaves to go meet Bubba. And he tells Bubba about his classes, how that he signed up to take math, English, history, and logic. When Bubba hears the word logic, he goes, "What's that?" Well, Jimbo says, "I'll give you an example. Do you have a weed eater?" Bubba says, "No." To which Jimbo responded, "You're strange. There's no hope for you. You're a redneck." As I was saying, logically speaking, I think it's wise to assume in Proverbs 16 that the person being written to or the people being written to are children of God. There are people that are part of God's family. It says in Psalm 7 and verse 11 that God is angry with the wicked every single day. And you can't be pleasing to God if he's angry with you. Not at all. There has to be an atonement made for the anger that God feels towards our sin. There has to be a time in your life when you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to give you eternal life. And after that takes place and you've received forgiveness from the Lord, you're part of God's family. Heaven is a free gift. It's not something that we earn or do. It's given because of God's graciousness and his mercy. But as a child of God, I think it is good to ask, how can we please God besides that? Verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord. What does it mean when it says our ways? Our ways please the Lord. You know, is anybody in here called, has a first name Derek? Good, I'm not going to offend anyone, but the word for ways is the Hebrew word for Derek. It means a course of life, a mode of action. It's your custom. It's your journey. It's who you are. When your ways, the way that you live, please the Lord. God says, when that pleases me, then I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. God says, I'll do it. You don't have to do it yourself. I'll do it. Now, what does the Lord mean when he says please here? Well, I sort of did some work on that too, and I discovered it means to be satisfied with or delight or to find favorable. We have some examples in the Old Testament of people's ways that please the Lord. You know, Daniel was one of them. You know, there are possible for people. Enoch was another. One time Enoch and the Lord were having so much fun, they went for an evening walk and Enoch never came home. Can't you imagine a missing persons report on that one? It's possible to live like that with God. When our habits are that enjoyable to the Lord, he finds it that favorable. He says that he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Now, this is important. And we may not fully understand the significance of that last phrase, that God will make our enemies to be at peace with us. But let me illustrate it like this. How many of you are rummy champions? Anybody even know what rummy is? Well, rummy is a game that we played growing up with my daughter Sherry, who's not here today, and I think that's providential. Probably keep her from being lifted up higher than she should, and you'll understand what I'm saying. And while it's always played to 500 points, by the way. And a while back we were playing. And of course, I'm the undisputed rummy champion of our family. And I was in this particular game, ahead by nearly 300 points. It's like 320 to 15. I mean, I could see the finish line. It's only 180 points away. Maybe this would be the last hand. But little did I know that in a space of about 15 minutes, I would go from winning by 320 and to 15 to losing. I know, somebody must have cheated. But I lost in 20 minutes. You know, my daughter, Sherry, is not my enemy. But I did everything I could to keep her from making me lose. And she did everything she could to help me to lose, including forming an illegal alliance with other people at the table, which we'll not talk about. Now, God is saying to us, that I will minimize, I will put controls on those situations and people that want to do you harm. I'll keep you from being set back. I will do that. Those people that want to do harm to you, that want to do malicious things to you, that want to take advantage of you, God says, I will minimize your losses. Look at the latter part of verse 7 there. He says, he makes, everybody want to circle that word. He makes, it's present tense, even his enemies to be at peace with him. God literally corrals those wild people that want to do harm to us. He sets a guard. He sends our enemies the other way. He directs them the other way. He causes those that hate us, that want to act in malice towards us, and causes them to act in exactly the opposite way. Shalom. Peacefully. You know, this is what you'd expect from our Lord. He says, if you ways please me, then I will do this for you. Let me ask you, where would you be if you have not been set back in your life? You know, most of you can pick a time, pick an event that was that tragic. It was a setback. I'm not saying if you're walking with God that bad things don't happen to you sometimes, because it certainly does. But many times, because of the way we live, we're not protected. You know, I know where I would be. I'd have a different shirt on. It'd say undisputed Rummy champion of the young household. Honestly, all of us would be better off if we didn't have our setbacks. How do we receive God's blessing for our life? Well, we know the Lord, and we live a life that pleases him. Secondly, we understand the truth about wealth. You know, what we're talking about tonight, to see something like this, you ought to ask yourselves a question. Why is that in there? Now, how's the connection? Maybe I can make the connection for us. It says in verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. You see, God places a higher value upon righteousness than wealth. He places a higher value on that. It's not what we possess, but who we are that's important to God. And that truth is seen throughout the Scripture, Old and New Testament. And here's the point that I want to make tonight. Someone that has entered into the kingdom of God, he's walked from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He's walked from being an unbeliever to a believer. That this person, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God, begins to view wealth in a different way. They understand something fundamentally different about wealth and the way it affects our lives and the truth about it. You know, the Apostle John talked about it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And you may want to write that down and look at those verses later, but I'm going to read them for you tonight. It says, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And this is what he says now. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of the Father, or will of God, abides forever. No, the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. See, somebody that has walked into the kingdom of God knows that that which we hold to be most dear in this world is simply temporary. Righteousness is always blessed and eternally blessed. Materialism is temporary, and it's rapidly passing away. Rapidly passing away. And so it behooves us to understand it's more important to live for the kingdom than it is to live for this kingdom. It's more important for us to be occupied with doing God's will for our lives than to be occupied with adding to our treasures in this world. So if we're going to receive a life that's pleasing to God, number one, we're going to know the Lord and we're going to live a life that pleases him. Secondly, we're going to know and practice the truth about materialism. And I could talk a lot more about that, but I think that's why it's thrown in here, the point that I made to you. And thirdly, and how this occurs is really amazing. Look at verse 9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, the Hebrew word for heart is an amazing word. It has a lot of meaning. It's used widely to describe our feelings, our wills, and our intellect. The things that we think about, things that we imagine, things that we may invent, the things that we may purpose, those secret parts of us. Now, those secret things about us that nobody else knows but God and us. You know, a man's heart plans his ways. Now, we may sit and ponder what we're going to do. You know, in a year's time or 2 years' time, I'm going to retire. And you think about it. You're prepared for it. Are you prepared the best you can? So hearts may plan our ways, the way that we're going to live, what we're going to do. But the Lord, it says here, directs our steps. He directs our steps. You know, the word for direct is the Hebrew word koon, best I can tell. K-O-O-N is the way it's transliterated. And it means to establish, to confirm with faithfulness, to fit, to provide, to make provision, to make it right. Literally, God is saying that he will direct our steps and he will go before and prepare a way for us to go. Now, we may think about it all we want, but behind the scenes, it's God who's stepping in and directing our steps and making the way. I wrote down on my notes, first time I studied this, I didn't know if this is possible or not, but I know it is now, and it's true in the Bible. I wrote down on my notes, God does this directing in real time. I mean, it's like right now. He's that involved. He's that in tune to what's going on in yours and my lives, that he makes it in real time. And the picture here is we may be doing our research, we may be getting our guidance and considering all of our options, talking to the experts and reading the books, but God is there in real time, faithfully directing our plans and the way. You know, and there's an aspect about this that tells us that the Lord not only directs the way, but he corrects the timing of the outworking of the way. And again, you would expect that of God, because he's a great God. You know, our economy and our world, country we live in, is probably unparalleled blessing right now. I mean, unemployment is lower than I can remember it in my lifetime. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But I just never remember it coming anywhere near like it is now. But I had a brother in the Lord that has just lost his job for 25 years that he worked for. And people his age are not that employable. My brother, physical brother, who'd worked for a company for 27 years. At one time, he was in charge of the northeastern quadrant of the U.S. in that company. Just lost his job. He wasn't prepared for it. Wasn't planning on it that quickly, because he's younger than I. My sister, who's younger than both of us, just lost her job. Even in the midst of such prosperity, there's that much uncertainness. You know, I told her, and we've talked about it, it's nice to know that God is faithful all the time, at every age, at every step of the way. No matter what you're doing, if your ways please the Lord, he's faithful and he is there on time, all the time. The writer in Proverbs says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That is true. But I want to draw your attention to something that before the Lord I dare not leave and not point it out. Look again at those verses I just read. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord. And my translation says, it's all capital letters. The last phrase in verse 9, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, that's the Hebrew word Jehovah, or Yahweh. It's a word that is given to a child of God because of a special covenant relationship that we have with God. It's a word that describes the powerfulness of God. And as a child of God, if you know him as Lord and Savior tonight, you have that relationship with him. It's an unbreakable relationship. There's literally nothing that our Lord does not know. There's nothing that he needs to learn or catch up on. He's fully, completely current at every point in time and always will be that way. He's created everything that exists. He's allowed everything that will be created. He controls everything. He owns everything. He's always been and always will be perfect. And he's always the same. And he says, I give you my name to guarantee that in your life. I will be there. And I tell you tonight, he has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He's promised to give us wisdom in the midst of any trial, no matter how great or how small it is. He's promised that all things will work together for good, always. And we know from the Old Testament and from the New, in Malachi it says in chapter 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. He doesn't change. And the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change either, because he's part of the Godhead. Jesus is faithful. He will always be faithful, and he will never, ever, ever forsake us. You know, Jesus' disciples probably were a lot like us in the midst of the seas that we go through. But on one particular night in John chapter 6, they had been rowing all night long, and the winds were up, and the waves were terrible, and they were experienced fishermen, but the Bible tells us that they were afraid. And they saw Jesus coming, walking on the water, and Jesus said to them, "It's I. Do not be afraid." Now, when we know the Lord as Savior, we don't have to be afraid, because he resides with us. We have that covenant name that is ours. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. He was always there to take care of us. So, brethren, tonight I want to exhort you to remember the Apostle Paul's words, and he certainly experienced a lot of what this Proverbs talked about tonight. When he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." The Lord is literally near. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. For when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Let's pray. Father, tonight I thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for speaking to all these wonderful truths of the Word of God. Help us to hear it and help us to believe it and live that way, that we might enjoy fully the joy and the peace that you want the children of God to possess. I ask these things in your name, for your glory, I pray. Amen.